Welcome to the latest episode of Easy with Francesi. We're going to talk. Our deep dive training talk is going to be on how often should you race, which is quite an open question. But we'll come on to that. Richard and I will discuss that after we have a recap of our training. Richard, how are you? Welcome from Nashville.
Thanks, Damon. I'm doing well. Yeah.
Good,
It's
good, good.
still
And
sunny here in Nashville. The sky is blue. It's still probably mid-20s in the warmest part of the day. So it's great.
that is nice. That's nice. A lot of Europe is not that warm. And I see that you're in your new speedy car.
Yes, it's
Yeah.
got a much better microphone and speaker than I used to
Than the previous one.
have.
Okay, good. So sound quality
Oh,
has
yes.
improved. Good
Yes,
stuff.
at least
Okay.
that.
Good stuff. All right, Richard, do you want to, how has your training been? What have you been up to for the
It's
last few weeks?
been good. The last couple of Sundays, I've gone out for a bike ride, about 2 hours just over, and they've really been training rides. So the closest thing to like what used to be a long run. And the weather's really good for it, so I'm not running out of water and I'm not overheating. I'm just able to ride. And also on a Sunday morning, the roads, even in town, are very quiet. So that's been my last Sundays. I'll go for another ride, I think, this afternoon. And then besides that, I've been in the gym. And I've been in the gym of the remaining 12 days, about 7 or 8 of those. I can't remember exactly, but each time I go in, there's some amount of just strength work, lower body, upper body. And then half of those times, so about 4 times, I've just been on the trainer.
How long are the rides at the moment then, the long rides you're doing?
Oh, just over 2 hours, minimum 2 hours.
Okay, it's good going. Good going. Okay.
Yeah.
And then you're good balance in the gym with the strength and
Yeah.
strength work and
So when I go
balance.
to the gym these times, I'm in the gym for between 1 hour to 2 hours.
Okay. Have you done any running?
Yeah. Good question. Good question. I've done some running as warm up and warm down, but I've not gone for bonus, like straight up runs.
Okay, that's good. All right, so this is still keeping in touch with the running. Okay.
Enough. I mean, it's cardio work. I don't mind that it's not running. My heart rate gets up. I'm getting physically stronger, and my only goal in the near future is to do a chin-up. So that's where I'm going with my
Okay.
smart goals.
Yeah. And
Yeah.
is there a what's the plan to are you planning to try and get more running in, or is it to get stronger first and then add it in, or you're happy with the balance?
I am happy with the balance for now, and I think that what I'm doing, especially in the gym, is on a warm down, I'm out walk running. So I think there'll be a natural progression to doing some more running. I'm seeing progress in how I run, just technically, because I'm stronger. How I run is a bit more like running than jogging. I'm really reluctant to go out for runs where I'm just plodding along. I'd much rather have some quality of
Yeah.
1 minute intervals or 30-second runs, and then, be done with it, even if it's only 5 or 6 minutes of running. So the very last time I went into the gym, I did 10 by a minute, off a minute, just of running. So, it's not like I'm doing a half hour run, but I'm doing enough exercise to make me feel like I'm being effective with my time. So that's where I am. And eventually I know I'll do more running, as time progresses. So yeah,
Okay.
it's good. Grand scheme of things now, if I look back, it's probably been a couple of months of regular exercise, whether it's running, gym, cycling, walking up steps. I'm happy with it, and I see that going forward, I'll still be able to keep interested.
Okay.
But
Good stuff.
that's me. That's me.
Yeah. Cool. Good stuff, Richard. Thank you for that.
How about you?
I'm progressing. I'm still making gradual progress. I've the last 2 weeks I've been running 5 to 6 times a week. Last week was you call it half term here, call it huslav, so like the autumn break. So I pretty much was just training. So 3 times in the gym, lots of cross training. I think I did over 7 hours of training, including the running. So nearly three what's that? Five hours of running, which is the most I've done for quite a while. And that included two sessions. I've had no, the Achilles is fine. My calves are a lot stronger. I've got a little bit of a minor issue in the shin, but I'm managing that by not progressing this week. I've dropped it down a little bit this week and trying to run on variable surfaces, and so not trying to run on. It's aggravating when I run quickly on a flat surface. So I'm trying to run. Half of my runs are off road, undulating. So pretty much that last week, yeah, two sessions. I did 10 by 1 minutes on and off rolling hills, and that was just 20 minutes hard, interspersed with, steady running. So all of my runs are pretty good quality now. There's not really easy running. My easy running I'm replacing with cross training at the moment. Then I did a session last Friday, mile reps. And that worked pretty well, kind of at tempo effort. This week, my sessions have been, I did, today I did 3 by 7 minutes, again on kind of undulating surface. So really focusing on heart rate, trying to keep it kind of half marathon tempo effort. And then I did a session early this week, a bit shorter. It was kind of going between 5K and rolling on or floating, at kind of a steady to marathon effort. And there's about nine of those, nine, three, 300 meters at 5K and 100 meters at steady to marathon. So, yeah, the strength and conditioning, I'm keeping up at least 2 to 3 times a week and cross training when I can. So, gradually getting fitter. I feel like now I go for a run, I'm not feeling, I feel like I'm running with good quality. I'm not. Yeah, my fitness is a reasonable level. So planning to do a park run next week, and it's not a flat park run, it's kind of undulating. So that's going to be my just a little, blowout, see where I am. And then still working towards the muddy bog fest that will be Horsenden Hill, Northwest London in early January. That'll be my next big effort.
Is that
Yeah,
the
so
Middlesex Championships?
Middlesex Championships, yeah, absolutely, yeah. So it's the one race I can do when I'm back home. So I'll give it a go. Yeah. So all in all, good. And yeah, just got to keep sensible and not make too many jumps up. But I am finding that gradually my steady run pace is coming down if I'm, relative to heart rate. So that I'm trying to keep. Yeah, just I get fitter. So the quality of my running is improving without me forcing it, which is kind of a.
Yeah. So I guess I'm wondering, now you've had a few weeks, maybe a month or so, even more of training. And what you mentioned there was a lot of sessions that you got in pretty consistently. So how far ahead are you thinking? You said January in terms of Middlesex, but when you think about plans for whatever training or competitions, is that as far as you're thinking January, or is it longer term than that?
Yeah, no, I am thinking longer term, but that in there's going to be a lot of indoor races. That those are my only options in Sweden between December to March. There's not really anything else I can do, so that's the only longest race I can do. It's going to be 3 days I could do indoor. I have targeted a few, and then summer wise, it's going to be tracks, either 3K chase or 5K. And that's the World Championships, the Masters World Champs in Gothenburg in August. So that's my longer term goal. But
Okay.
yeah, I think like working towards a race that's going to be between, 45 to 50 minutes is within my range, I think. I'm doing the specific off-road work, which should put me in good stead. I can't replicate the mud, but I can replicate the the undulations and changes in tempo in quite a lot of my steady runs and also seconds. So I'll be able to get a week's worth of running when I go back, so off road. So at least I'll be a bit of a reintroduction to that. The challenges of running in thick mud and undulations. So yeah, going well. Okay, right. We're going to move on to our deep dive training talk. How often should you race, Richard?
Good question. So I guess I would make a distinction between obviously winter and summer because the race distances are much more broad on the track than they are for the road. I think, or not road, cross country rather. And I think first of all, it changes over time. In the winter, when I was growing up running 15, 16, 17 years old, and I think this is not a bad way to do it. I was racing most weekends, at least every other week. I think more than every 2 weeks generally is a lot, but racing every 14 days, I see no problem with it, especially because you haven't got huge training loads. And also you learn a lot from racing and I think it takes away this pedestal that racing is often put on. Because it's not a big deal to race, but I think a lot of people make it a big deal. So the more you do it, the more accessible it becomes. So then in the summer, obviously a 5K or a 10K on the track, if you're, in your 20s, takes a lot more out of you than an 8 or a 15. And, a lot of middle distance races, you can expect to race several times in a weekend because of a championship. So it's a whole different kettle of fish. And I think that's something that has to be part of, a summer, if you are aiming for a championship, you have to be accustomed to racing on consecutive days or at least something close to it. So it's very varied, a varied set of how to race. But what I would say is you kind of have a feeling of whether you're over racing or not, right? Or at least you gain that over time and you can acknowledge that or you can ignore it. But a lot of it is a feeling of how often am I racing and am I getting to do the training I want to do to try and address what I find out in races? And the answer is sometimes no. If the answer is no, you're racing too much. So I don't know if this is a deflection in the answering or a really soft answer, but that's where I'd begin. How about you, Damien?
Good points, Richard. So I think you touched upon the distinction between if we're looking at cross country and track, and dependent on the type of what your target race might be. But I think if you take it back to how old or what the training age of the athlete is, I think that's also a consideration as to how often you should race. And like you, I think there's nothing wrong with racing, and I think a lot of, as you said about the pedestal, a lot of younger athletes get quite they're quite anxious and nervous about racing, and often you can remove a lot of that by just racing more, just getting used to it, testing yourself, not making it as big a deal as it sometimes is played up to be. And this can be for someone, it can be applicable for someone who's 12, 13, and also someone that's 25 and just started racing. So saying, you may be an adult, but it's still you're learning. It's a learning process, racing as well. That is something to consider. I think it does depend also on the distance of the race. So we're talking, as you said, 8, 1500. You can do more of those and recover quickly, quicker than a 5000 or a 10000, especially on the track at good race. The quality of the race as well. So you can do some many cross countries that are league races, and if you're at a good standard, you can run those within yourself, using this training. And then if you're talking about county or area or national championships, then you'd need to think about what your races are building up, leading up to that and after that. So it's something that you would have to, discussions with a coach would help there, and that they would be able to say, well, maybe we should maybe just race a bit more sparingly before this big race so that you are a bit fresher. The yeah, so those are my initial thoughts. But I think the key thing is that many athletes do have a fear, or a not a fear, but they feel that by overracing, or they don't race often enough to test themselves, and the point of training should be to race. You wanted to come in there, Richard.
Yeah, I think there's another thing I think you made me think of as you were speaking, which is that, different races have different levels of importance, right? They're not all the same. And I think that in a season, say a cross-country season, obviously you have county championships, regionals, nationals, maybe more levels than that if you're really competitive, internationally, say. And obviously, you build a schedule of races as well as training, right? And that, like with any training session, the races are to fulfill a purpose. And it may be that, yeah, you have periods of training, and those are where, if you start racing, you will compromise some key aspects of training. But if you're going 2 months without racing, I think that's a long period of time, unless you spend most of the year racing indoor outdoor tracks, say, and it's like the only time you have. The other thing I would say is in the track season, what I've tried to do as a coach with athletes is say, okay, there's a Wednesday, Saturday, Wednesday race, and there's going to be a block of training for 2 weeks before that, and then you have races one after the other, and you might do that a few times. So you go th in a season, you go through different cycles of how often you race, but it's all towards a goal, right? And the goal might be running a fast time for a championship qualification. It might be a championship itself. Every 3 days is really on the limit, unless you're doing an actual championship, I think, on the track. But I just think you have your plans, you try and do them, and sometimes you have to adapt. But yeah, going for months without racing, I think, is a long time.
Yeah, no, thanks, Richard. So some again the good points there, and the point about like you it's a learning experience racing, and I think the more experienced an athlete are you tend to have a have an idea of what you need as an athlete, and it can be a psychological element of what you need to feel that you can, if you have a target, what you need, how many races you need to get under your belt before that target. But I think like that you're saying about having that period of not racing for a couple of months, that I say to athletes is that you need to put yourself into the frying pan. You've got to get burnt sometimes. You've got to feel that adrenaline. And some athletes need it more than others. But if you don't, you can you it's the racing edge I talk about. So like my example, I hadn't raced for a year, and I did that the call it the County Stockholm Cross Country Championships here. And I just remembered how, yeah, the effort required to run hard. It's as much as you can do a couple of sessions, that prolonged hard effort of 15 minutes, 30 minutes, whatever it might be. It's almost your brain needs to be engaged as well. It's that whole body, yeah. Making sure that you keep in touch with that side of your training.
Yeah, and I think like any season, your body's different, your life is different, and there's a skill which is racing, all you've learned with racing, also mixed with what your body is like and what your life is like in that moment. And it starts again at least every season. You spend October until March racing cross country. And obviously, there's a desire to want to go into the track season and run well. But you jump into the races, and there may be over distance races, on a distance races. But if you ignore them, there's a lot you don't learn about how your body is. And they're not all, as you say, they're not all championship races. The challenge I think a lot of athletes face is going into races knowing that they're probably not coming off the training as much as they would want to. to perform at their quote unquote best. Which is why I think it just matters that there's a plan and a reason for the races, right? I think I'm rambling, but I'm certainly of the opinion that race a lot. If you are racing too much, it will be obvious. If you're not racing that much, you can easily just pretend you're training well and be surprised when you don't reach the intensities, as you allude to, when you come out and race. And that's not fitness, that's racecraft that's missing.
I think a couple of points just to finish off there. That in terms of racecraft is something that is quite underrated. Knowing how to achieve, and also knowing how to get the best out of your body in a given day. And it could be, as you said, if you're coming off a period of heavy training, you may go into that race and think, well, the best I can do today is this. But by putting yourself, embarrassing yourself, putting yourself in that position, it allows you to learn what you can, what you output, what you can achieve. The key thing here, I think, is having someone to talk to bounce ideas off. And the danger of a lot of newer athletes is that they do tend to overrace, or they don't understand, they don't realize when they're about to peak, or when they have peaked, or when they're overtraining or overracing. So having a coach to say, to have it oversee your training and your racing, to find that balance. And that is often only achieved through very experienced individuals. And that could be the experienced athlete, but often the coach needs to have some input. So it the danger, I think there's more risk of overracing than underracing. Having a coach to advise and to talk to give you a plan. To challenge the athlete, as you're saying, to do a race when you're maybe not completely tapered or fresh, to see what you can achieve. Right. Thanks, Richard. I think that was a good deep dive into when to race, or well, how often you should race. And we talked about cross country and track there, so hopefully that'll help athletes on both spectrums. So thanks, Richard. Thanks for your time. I hope that you continue your training, your upward curve, and we'll speak again in a fortnight. Thanks again, Rich.
Thank you, Damien.
Cheers. Take care.